I've failed. W.A. Criswell was perhaps the best-known pastor in the world during his long tenure at the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. His sermons, personal efforts, and multiple books have been the means of winning untold numbers to Christ. But in Criswell's biography, author Billy Keith tells an interesting story about the man that led Criswell to the Lord. It was when W.A. was 10 years old, and Reverend John Hicks came to his small Texas town to conduct a revival meeting. Hicks stayed in the Criswell house during his two-week campaign. Young W.A. was greatly taken with John Hicks, and one day he asked permission to leave school to attend the 10 o'clock service at the church. Entering the chapel, he sat directly behind his mother, and he drank in every word that Hicks spoke. When Hicks gave the invitation, the lad went forward and with tears took Jesus Christ as his Savior. Years later, when Criswell was a world-renowned pastor, he repeated the story. He recounted it. He recounted the time of his conversion to a friend of his, Wallace Bassett. "Would you repeat that, W.A.?" Bassett asks, and so he did. "I just can't imagine that," Bassett said. "Johnny Hicks was a dear friend of mine, and he was here in Baylor Hospital in his last illness, of which he died. I went often to see Johnny, and one day as I sat beside him, he said, 'Wallace, my life is over. My preaching days are done, and I've never done anything for Jesus. I've failed. Wallace, I've failed.' And those were the last words the old preacher ever spoke. He didn't realize how successful he had been in just one conversion." I share this story with you as an illustration of how we can be deceived by ourselves or by the great deceiver. We begin to compare our life with our ideas and against others around us, and we neglect comparing to God's word. We at this time are somewhere preceding the life moment of Reverend John Hicks, even with the timing being different in our lives versus his in the story that we just shared with. I would guess that we have similar despair or discouragement. Maybe not specifically as to our ministry, but certainly in some aspect of our lives. I know that I have times that seem disheartening when I feel downtrodden, discouraged, and sometimes to the point of despair, where you feel as though you are rather worthless. These are the very troublesome, if not debilitating, symptoms. Even this week, I've had challenges, as I'm sure each one of us have. I want to be open with each and every one of you. As we grow in our faith, whether we're new or maturing, there can and will be times that symptoms like these will enter our lives. It is moments like these when you just want to pull away, as you sometimes push those away around you. You don't even feel worthy to be able to go to God with those things that are pulling you down. And that's just the place the great deceiver wants you to be. He wants us to compare ourselves with any and everything except the entire truth of God's word. For me to make it through the week, I had to seek out some counsel. And today I want to share that with you. If it can help me, I'm sure and certain that it can help each one of us. It has the power to encourage us, each one of us. Let's get into the source of our great encouragement. As part of the encouragement, I found biblical examples where God's people wanted to give up as they were so extremely overwhelmed. Have you ever felt so burdened, a heavy load that you felt you could not carry? Well, Moses did. If you have your Bibles and want to turn with me to Numbers 11, 10 through 15, if not, note that down. I encourage you to read more of that story later. But here's from Numbers 11, 10 through 15. Moses heard the people of every family wailing at the entrance of their tents. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. He asked the Lord, "Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? Why, what have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry in my arms, as a nurse carries an infant, to the land you promised on oath to their ancestors? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, 'Give us meat to eat.' I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me if I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin." That's discouragement, folks. Moses was burdened, discouraged, and I would dare say in despair. Have you ever felt so defeated? As we find in Joshua 7, 7 through 9. And Joshua said, "Alas, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring these people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Pardon your servant, Lord. What can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name?" Joshua's feeling some pressure. He's losing hope, feeling the despair in Joshua 7, 7 through 9. How about this? Have you ever felt like a ginormous failure? 1 Kings 19:4. This is from Elijah. While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush. He sat down under it and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." We're working our way three prophets that God had called into the ministry to do his work. They're struggling. They reach those points. And here's one that most of us will face in some form or fashion throughout the course of our lives, whether it's us or those around us. How sick have you been? Have you been sick to the point of despair? Isaiah 38, 9 through 20 recounts a story. Turns out well, as most of these do. But there was that point that brought them before God, begging and pleading for their lives. Isaiah 38, 9 through 20. A writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, after his illness and his recovery. "I said in the prime of my life, must I go through the gates of death and be robbed of the rest of my years? I said, I will not again see the Lord in the land of the living. No longer will I look on my fellow man or be with those who now dwell in this world. Like a shepherd's tent, my house has been pulled down and taken from me. Like a weaver, I have rolled up my life, and he has cut me off from the loom. Day and night you made an end of me. I waited patiently till dawn. But like a lion, he broke all my bones. Day and night, you made an end of me. I cried like a swift or thrush. I moaned like a mourning dove. My eyes grew weak as I looked to the heavens. I am being threatened. Lord, come to my aid. But what can I say? He has spoken to me. He himself has done this. I will walk humbly all my years because of this anguish of my soul. Lord, by such things people live, and my spirit finds life in them too. You restored me to health and let me live. Surely it was for my benefit that I suffered such anguish. In your love you kept me from the pit of destruction. You have put all my sins behind your back. For the grave cannot praise you. Death cannot sing your praise. Those who go down to the pit cannot hope for your faithfulness. The living, they praise you, as I am doing today. Parents tell their children about your faithfulness. The Lord will save me. And we will sing with stringed instruments all the days of our lives in the temple of the Lord, as read from Isaiah 38, 9 through 20. Hezekiah was facing, he was foretold the end of his life. He wasn't ready. He was calling out to God. As we've seen examples of great despair, I hope there's some encouragement there for you. Not that despair won't happen at will, but even great men of God have faced it. How much are we to escape what has been their present? What has been a part of their lives? How are we to escape that? God never promised that we would escape it, only that he would help us, that he would be there as our encourager. There are remedies for each and every one of these types and all types of discouragement. These are just examples. That's not the end of all the things, the afflictions that man has felt as they've worked and grown for God. God wants to be our source of encouragement. In order to be that source, we must be sure to look and to compare our despair in God's word. God wants to sustain us. And here we can find where Elijah was under that bush and ready to die. He said he was done. But we move on just a few verses, and God meets us there. He meets Elijah there. From 1 Kings 19:8. So he got up and ate and drank. This is Elijah. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. 1 Kings 19:8. God wasn't ready for Elijah to be done. Elijah had just forgot to continue to count on God. God wants us to put our burdens on him. They're not ours. He wants them. As Psalm 55:22 says, "Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken." You have a place to stand firm when life comes at you hard. God wants you there. He doesn't want you shaken about. He wants you to be able to stand firm in his word and his care and his comfort. Our place of rest, he wants to give us rest as well. But when we compare outside of God's word, we only bring about more and more discouragement and despair. So from Mark 6:31, "Then because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. The disciples were working so hard for the Lord. People kept gathering. They themselves were about to be diminished." They were famished. They were hungry. Jesus cared enough for them, understanding the physical needs that we have. And he says, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Jesus understands what we need. If we understand that we need Jesus, he will take care and meet those things. It's one of those we can feel as worked up, as worked over, and at the end. But God doesn't want us to be there. We've taken ourselves there. No matter what is happening, remember that God wants us to stay in His Word and to not be deceived. But He wants us redeemed. The deception we do is looking away and comparing ourselves with our own ideas that aren't God's. We look away, we compare with those around us, seeing what they have, the gifts that they have, but we don't. And we can go and create discouragement for ourselves when we focus on what others have and not what God has and what God has for us. If we look to Luke 21:28, He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived, whether you deceive yourselves or by others. For many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he.' The time is near. Do not follow them. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Luke 21:28. He's calling us to look to Him. If it's near, we need to be near to Him, not near to ourselves, to our own wants, desires. Now, as we move along, you'll see the verses listed, the sermon text. Might seem late to get to those now, but I think it'll work. So if you want to join me at 2 Corinthians 4:1-2. "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God," as read from 2 Corinthians 4:1-2. And immediately we'll go to Luke 18:1. "Then Jesus told His disciples a parable. He wanted to show them that they should always pray and not give up." From Luke 18:1. Out of these two parables, the first thing that I want to bring up that I see in both passages, one from Paul, one through Jesus' own words, they tie together. There are times throughout this life that we may come close to losing heart, to being so discouraged we come to despair, to a place that we want to give up. But we have been shown several Old Testament examples where each of those have come to that very place. Yet we have warnings that the same can and will happen right here in the New Testament, including a warning from Jesus Himself. He wants us to persist, to persevere. And He knows the right way to persist, and that's absolutely in prayer. In our passage from 2 Corinthians 4:1-2, there is the recognition as to why any of their struggles are worth bearing forward. God is given honor for His mercy. The recognition that is not just something that the individual or the small group, they don't have to bear their struggle on their own. Their God wants to be with them to support the mission that He has set them forth to carry out. And Jesus in Luke 18, as He's preparing the disciples, there's something very telling to me. So I'm going to ask a rhetorical question. Why would Jesus, as a part of His teaching of the disciples, tell them and teach them to persist, not to give up, especially in their prayers? It kind of answers itself, but the question there helps us to focus a little bit deeper. It's because there will be at least one time in each one of their lives that they will have the urge to give up, to compare, and to despair. Whether we are new or maturing in our faith, there come times of discouragement. I want to assure you, as I myself have been assured through God's Word, He wants to be with you. He wants to bring you through to a growing and strengthening faith. He can and will use the local church to be a current source of encouragement. We must always compare to His Word to avoid despair. If you want to stand and close. Before we get to our prayer, I just want to do a quick summary. A place of isolation is where the deceiver wants us to stay. If we understand that each of us struggle and we come here and support each other, Hebrews 10:25, when we assemble together, when we can take those, share our own struggles, which we have, and when we're honest with those around us, we can be a source of encouragement, strengthening them and drawing them out of the discouragement they're in. At the very time, that can be offered to us, that we can focus away from ourselves, which it seems every time I focus on myself, I further and further spiral into discouragement. It just seems to happen like that. I encourage us all today to use what God's given us. As much as this is an old building, who cares about the building? We're here together. He wants us to grow each other, to share each other's burdens, and of course, lift them up to Him. We all have our things. Some are harder and deeper than others, but that doesn't matter. We're here to support and to show love to each and everyone around us. Isolation is where the devil wants us. As we separate from each other, he divides and he conquers. I'm not saying I see a division, but I want to encourage that there not be. I thank you for coming this morning. If we can finish in prayer, it's a pastoral prayer. You can feel free to come to the altar. There's a time here. If you've got things that you're holding, your burdens are so heavy, your shoulders are sore, your back is breaking, if your chest is so tight, come to the altar. God wants you to share those with Him. If you don't want to come to the altar, you don't have to. You can go to God right where you stand. If you'll bow with me. Heavenly Father, we come before you today honored that we have the opportunity to join together as an assembly of family, your family. We're here with our brothers and our sisters because we have been brought into your family through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, there are those who aren't able to be with us today due to sickness, illness, or travel. Whatever the reason, Father, we love them, we miss them, and we pray that you'll care for them and bring them back to be with us, that we can share our lives, our encouragement, your word, your hope with them as well as they can share with us. Father, we've seen such great examples that real humans you have used to give us examples in your written word. Father, we thank you for those examples that we're not on an island on our own. But Father, you carry through. You will get us to the destination you want for us in your will when we stay focused on you and your word and your plan. Help us not to compare ourselves to others. But Father, may we compare ourselves to your written word, that we can grow in our faith, ready to carry out your will each and every day. Father, help us as we go out to love those around us. And Father, to share the immense love that you have for each and every person of this world. We don't get to make the choice of acceptance for them, Father, but we are called to encourage and to bring that word before them that they can make the choice. Father, we love you and thank you for all that you provide. We thank you for the promise of being our rest, being the one that wants to take our yoke. Carry us through this week, I pray. and help us to remember to rely on you each and every moment. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.